Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Great, because I'm an amoeba.
An amoeba?
Uh-oh, got a split.
Oh, bye.
No, I got a split in half. You know, us amoebas always growing.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you while you're still growing.
Great, because here I go. Much better.
Well, you can both visit AflacSB.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC. American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Since I began broadcasting the show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find. IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center, including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website.
I'm Arnold Palmer, and I've played some tough courses in my career, but the course that posed the most challenging hazards for me is being a business owner. That's why I'm a client of Administaff. They manage HR burdens like government compliance, workers' comp, and payroll taxes, giving you a competitive advantage.
That's right, Arnold. I'm Becky Browning, Vice President of Live Oak Capital here in Texas. I've seen the cost of complying with employment regulations skyrocket. Administaff helps me control and manage these costs, and they handle all my other HR needs too, enabling me to devote my energy to growing the business, not preserving it.
Administaff champions the needs of business owners, providing administrative relief, big company benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity. Call Administaff at 800-465-3800 or visit administaff.com. And remember, small business is good for America. Administaff is good for small business.
Aflac for Small Business, how can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business, you dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business, just me and my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to AflacSB.com. Aflac for Small Business, because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much. Joining us. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And you're going to be glad you did, because our good buddy Brad Huskin is back in the building, so to speak. Brad is the
one of the top salesmanship experts in the planet, probably in the galaxy. And he's the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD, and also Munchies for Salespeople. And he's our good friend. Brad, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning, Jim. How are you doing today?
Doing great. It's good to have you back.
Well, it's nice to be back. Of course, it's nice to be anywhere when you think about it, isn't it?
When you're our age, it's good to be anywhere, isn't it?
Exactly.
As long as the Gophers aren't bringing our mail, we're doing good, aren't we?
we're in good shape, then.
There you go. Brad, I've been talking about the attitude that small business owners should have about in reaction to people talking about a recession. And what I've been saying is, recession, so what? Because whatever we're in is going to go away, and we're going to be better on the other side of it. Things are going to be better on the other side of it. I'm still planning on being in business when that happens, and so therefore I still have to pay bills, eat, make payroll. I have to do all those things in the meantime. So that means, you know, I can't get bummed out about whatever's going on. I got to keep working. Maybe I got to work a little harder. Maybe I got to work a little smarter. Maybe I can't take certain things for granted. And part of that is the way we think about sales.
Well, you're exactly right. And I'm a little shocked to hear that there's a recession going on.
You haven't seen it, have you?
No, I haven't seen it yet. But you're absolutely right. And as I travel around the country, I see people that are moaning and complaining and, you know, doom and gloom, and, you know, the world is coming to an end and all those kinds of things.
They're the ones who've been watching CNBC too much.
Exactly. Then there's the other people that are having very nice sales gains, busier now than they've ever been before. And
you know, is the difference the reality of the marketplace or what's between their ears?
Well, you know, I think it's mainly what's between their ears, because it's happening in the same market. And I've always believed that if, in fact, you have a competitor in business still, there's an opportunity for you to have a sales increase.
Yeah,
and maybe the pie isn't getting any bigger. You just have to get a bigger piece of the pie.
That's
and
one thing.
You know,
that
that's
one
not
thing
easy.
People, one thing people don't realize is that if you in a downturn in any economy, somebody's going to get an attitude about it, and they're going to slough off. They're going to back off. They're going to give in. They're going to succumb to the bad news. And anytime you've got somebody like that, make sure it's not you, and you need to go get that person's business.
Exactly right. You know, there are always going to be people, no matter what the economy, that it's, you know, life is not good, and, you know, the negative sayers out there that always want to make things worse than they really are. And, you know, I think that it just perpetuates itself when we start talking about how bad things are rather than doing the things that we need to do in order to be successful. I just wrote an article saying the consistent application of good, sound business principles will help you through any type of financial downturn.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need to make sure that our retailers and our business people are consistently applying the good, sound business principles.
You know, this isn't my first rodeo, Brad, and I know it's not yours either. I mean, my first recession was 1969. I got laid off as a part-time person working my way through college in 1969, and I was never part-time again after that. I got a job immediately and been full-time ever since. So I've been through a lot of these things, and one of the things that I can remember when I was carrying a kit bag for another company, I'd park outside of an office during a downturn in the economy, and I'd look at that building and I'd think about the people inside it, and I'd say, you know what, we got a recession going on here. They're not going to buy from me. Why do I need to go in there and get them to throw me out? And I'd sit there and I'd think, okay, but wait a minute, I got two kids, I got two mortgages, I got, you know, I got to eat, right? And so I'd hitch up my britches, as my dad used to say, and I'd go inside and I'd say, hi, I'm Jim, how do you like me so far? And they would say, I'm glad you're here. We need your help.
Well, that's fabulous.
And 30 seconds before, I was convinced they weren't going to buy anything.
Exactly. And it's all about the attitude that the person has when they're approaching things. You can approach it as if you're not going to make the sale, or you can approach it as you are going to make the sale. Just the other night, I had a guy say to me, well, you're not interested in something like this, are you? Of course not, with your attitude.
Absolutely not. Well, what you should have said was, well, actually I am, but I'm not buying it from you. Stand by, Brad. We're going to be right back. 20 till. I told you we'd have fun when Brad Huskin joined us. Stay with us.
the chaos for the fulcrum in the void. Following a destiny our steps cannot avoid.
With the old man stranded again, so off I'd ran. A young world crashing around me. No possibility of getting what I need. He looked at me.
Little Hearts.
Smile.
That's Ann and Nancy.
Said, no,
Wilson.
No.
It's Ann, by the
no,
way, on the vocals.
Child.
Nancy on guitar.
See the dog amber.
Great rock and roll group. Like those guys. Welcome back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find the show and the articles that I've written and my Brain Trust members have written, and the archives of the show, that all the way back to 99, thousands of archives of every topic under the sun. You can go back and listen to what my Brain Trust members have said about any topic you can think of. If you find got a topic on your mind, just go check them out. And then, of course, you can check out our blog, which we update every weekday. You can subscribe to my free newsletter, which is right there on the main page, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz.biz. That's where you get Small Business Answers Now. We're visiting with our good friend Brad Huskin. He's the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD, and Munchies for Salespeople. He's one of our top salesmanship experts in the Brain Trust. And, you know, Brad, when we got started with this hour, I was telling the audience you were going to be here and how important it is in a year like this to really focus on selling fundamentals, and but also not just selling fundamentals, but sales management fundamentals. Talk to us about that.
Well, I really believe the sales manager is the most important person in an organization, whether it be a brick-and-mortar store or somebody that's traveling B2B, business-to-business. The sales manager has to be there to proactively coach and give positive reinforcement and correct any negative things that they're saying, because every selling opportunity that we have is vitally important nowadays. And the sales manager has to be the one that's up to speed as far as if the sale's going south, he's able to step in and save that sale, or he's there to give positive reinforcement when people are doing well, and to keep this negative attitude that we were just talking about from creeping into somebody's personality.
Salespeople are emotional beasts, aren't they?
Well, they really are.
They're high-strung, they're thoroughbred, high-strung type of people, and they really need somebody to kind of keep them on keel, don't they?
Well, you know, I've always said that you got to be there to get somebody doing things right. And if a salesperson makes a sale, he really expects somebody to tell him he did a great job, which, you know, that's hard for you and I to believe that if you're doing your job, you're making a sale, because that's why we have you. You're a salesperson, that we actually have to congratulate them for doing that. But if you don't congratulate them, then they're feeling like nobody's paying any attention to them.
Well, the money is a big deal. Salespeople are motivated. Professional salespeople are motivated by the commissions, by the money. There's no question about that. That you design your business model around the commissions that you pay salespeople who go out and slay the dragon. But they also they're human beings, and beyond. You know, I love what Napoleon said about this, Brad. 200 years ago, he said, "A soldier will fight long and hard for a bit of colored ribbon."
No, that's and, exactly right. How profound was that? Wow.
Yeah. And,
I didn't
and
realize Napoleon was a sales manager.
That's exactly right. But, you know, I used to, you know, I remember when I worked for sales organizations, and, you know, I was always happy with the money, but whenever I was brought up in front of a group and given some kind of a little plaque or something, you know, for some performance I'd done or some monthly or annual or whatever I'd done, you know, that was a big deal to me.
It's that little plaque that means everything to most people.
You know what? I still have those plaques, by the way.
So do I, as a matter of fact.
I have a shrine, a whole shrine just for me, you know.
Here's all about me. You want to hear
that's right, exactly.
About me?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, and the sales manager is really the one that has to be there, especially if a sale is going south, because, you know, it's so expensive anymore to get a customer that for us to lose them costs a fortune. And people don't approach businesses unless they have some want, need, or desire for that merchandise or the service or whatever they're selling. And we just have to assume that if they're there, they're there to buy something. And we need to maximize that effort.
One of the things that I have always been concerned about, Brad, is the ability for small business owners to actually function with a proper sales manager. You know, so many times a sales manager is just somebody who's been given a title because they think they need one, but they never really allow that person to manage.
Yeah, they don't allow them to grow into the position, so to speak. And funny you should mention that. That's why we're introducing a new Train the Trainer course that I'd love to tell you about.
All right, go ahead.
Well, it's a 3-day intensive course that we're going to teach sales managers the benchmarks to productivity, how to become a good trainer, how to listen in on sales presentations, where to pick and choose your battles, and all those types of things, along with the selling process as well.
Now, is that an in-person thing?
Yes, it's an in-person thing. We're going to do it in St. Louis and Baltimore.
All right.
And I'm sorry to say Baltimore's already sold out, but St. Louis is coming up in July.
Good for you. Now, how do we find out more about this?
You go to my website, which is www.iastraining.com.
iastraining.com. And, folks, I didn't know that he was – I mean, I didn't know I was setting you up for that, did I? I mean,
but
that
no, just, you
did. That just tells you how simpatico you and I are, Brad. You know?
Well, and good salespeople look for their opportunities.
Great minds. That's exactly right. Yeah, you jumped on that little opening like a rattlesnake, didn't you?
That's exactly right.
Can they find your books at your website? I'm a salesman, not a PhD, and Munchies for Salespeople.
Yes, and all the other training materials that we have available, plus my free newsletter as well, called Sales Insights.
Is that still weekly or?
It's a weekly thing that comes out about 3 times a month.
Yep.
As you understand, you know, with our
weekly
travel
about
schedule,
3 times a month. Yeah.
Yep. So it's
that's
kind of
like somebody said.
Get.
That's like somebody said. Said, how much is your book, Jim? I said it's $19.95, but it's $20. It's $20 if I don't have a nickel. Stand by.
Right.
Quick break. 20 after. No, it's 10 till the hour. 49 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with our good friend Brad Huskin. A lot more good stuff to come. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Brad Huskin. We're talking about salesmanship and sales management and whatever we can do to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And, you know, Brad, what I was talking about in the previous shows previously in the week was that, you know, when things are going great, anybody can be successful in business.
Right, everybody looks like a hero.
It's times like these when you find out whether you got your cornflakes together or not.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It all starts when somebody makes a sale.
Well, that's what puts the money in the register that allows the business to stay in business.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what I was going to say. Where I mentioned earlier the consistent application of sound business principles, which are really running your business based on factual information, not based on opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And I see so many businesses that are just hoping that something works rather than analyzing the business from a statistical standpoint to see where they can turn it around or grow it.
Well, and like salesmanship, professional sales skills, PSS, like I learned with Xerox 30 years ago, I mean, those things work. These are ways of talking to human beings, one human being to the other, and finding out what you need to know to help them.
Well, I said to a group the other day, if you look at your very best customer and think about everything you know about that human being, you know their name, their spouse's name, where they work, what kind of car they drive, how long they've been in the community, where they went to college, their kid's name, the dog's name, for God's sakes. And then you look at the person you didn't sell, and what's the difference between your best customer and the one you didn't sell? And it's really just your ability to befriend another human being.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what sales is all about, is the ability to befriend human beings and get them to trust you and want to buy your products.
That's right. Well, and I'll tell you, I still think that one of the big things right now is just not... And folks, this is an essential. This is an absolutely imperative sales fundamental, and that is this. It is not your job to answer for the customer or the prospect. It's not your job to sit there and say, they don't want any of this. That's way above your pay grade. You got to make sure if you, Brad, I really believe if salespeople will just stop doing that and say to themselves when they wake up, when they get up in the morning, say, okay, I'm going to quit answering for customers. I'm going to make sure that as many people today as possible can answer the question about whether I can help them or not.
Well, and I agree 100%. If we could just get salespeople to sell based on the reasons the customer wants to buy instead of the reason they want to sell.
You mean the product of the month is not good?
Can you imagine? But asking people and selling why they want to buy it is just so essential today, and people miss that. But, you know, that's the biggest reason, barrier to successful salesmanship is selling based on why you think they want to buy it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I walked onto a car lot a couple of years ago, and I have a car that I like, and they came out with a new one. And I thought, well, you know, I could be susceptible to that. I was feeling pretty good. You know, I don't buy cars, you know, willy-nilly, but I said, you know, I might be an easy mark today.
Mm-hmm.
So I show up, the same guy who sold me this car waits on me. He comes out and waits on me. And I said, hey, how you doing? He said, hey, man. I thought, you know, he would say, hey, let me show you, you know, you still, how do you like your Explorer, you know, or whatever, you know, and I'd say, yeah, I love it. Well, hey, you know, talk to me about a new one, right? Guess what? He starts telling me about this other car that they came out with. But the reason he told me about it was that's what he was excited about.
Exactly right. And frankly,
guess what? He had no idea how close he was to being able to make a sale, but he never found out what I wanted. He only found out. He only told me what he wanted to tell me.
Yep, that's right.
And he didn't make a sale, and I'm still driving that car.
And that's the point I'm trying to make. If you just ask, it's amazing what customers will tell you. They'll probably tell you everything you need to know to make a sale if you just ask the questions right.
And isn't this a great time to become endeared for customers to love you because you went in and said, you know what, I don't know whether you're having a hard time or not this year or not, but you know, a lot of people are. What I'm trying to do with my customers is make sure that we all get through this together. What can I do to help you?
Exactly.
I mean, isn't that amazing? It's amazing what that'll buy you, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah, a little camaraderie, a little human-to-human relationship, getting to know as many people as you possibly can. You're going to get through this thing.
Because the last thing people want right now is a hard pitch, isn't it?
Yeah, they don't want the hard used car kind of sales pitch, no.
Give us your website again, Brad.
It's www.iastraining.com.
And when is St. Louis?
St. Louis is the middle of July, the 15th through the 17th.
Check it out, folks. You got big doings going on there at the website, IAS Training. Thanks, Brad. See you next
time. Thanks, Jim. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame reminding you that a ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships were made for.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.